This morning, our scripture reading will be Colossians 2, 8 through 10. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the full fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. College Park is a church of sound doctrine, so I got to call out Alex for mixing communion and donuts. That's heresy. Just joking. But it's good to be back with you again. You got bald head 2 weeks in a row. It's growing. We are going to bring our bald head representatives more and more into this church. Delighted to be here again. And the first picture you see is one of our family. I showed that last week. Some people were thinking I only had one son. That was Matt, a quadriplegic son. But Pat and I got married on March 9th. And at our marriage, we had a picture of our family, and I mentioned last week there were several missing. Stacy, Justin's wife, that's my son, his wife, one of my sons, his wife, then there's Michael, Anthony, Brianna, and Jada, those are Pat's grandchildren. And I also missed last week one of my granddaughters, Aubrey. She is the daughter of Matt and Erica, that's my quadriplegic son. So I want to get her in this picture. And later we might pick up a few more, but just wanted to show you that and then begin to introduce them to you. Won't have time this morning to introduce them all, but I will mention our oldest is Kristen. She's married to Tony Miller, and they have two sons, Keegan, which I keep calling Keegan, and then we have Declan. They live in South Carolina, but she's our oldest. We praise God for her. Now, this morning, as we get started, I want to have you thinking about this. Christ plus anything equals spiritual loss. Christ plus nothing equals spiritual gain. That's the gospel, simply put. As we think about last week, we talked about as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in him. We received him by faith plus nothing. We're to live by faith plus nothing, trusting in the provisions of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to take us where we need to be as we live by faith. We said that faith had three aspects. One was God, the God who created us, the God who created the entire universe. He is the God we worship. Faith responds to him. Faith also responds to that God's word. He is not silent. He has spoken. That's why we preach from the Bible. We're preaching from the word of God. And not only is he there and he's spoken, but we must respond to what he says. And so we're responding by faith. We're walking. We're living our lives by faith. We're rooted and we're grounded in faith in Christ. We should be going forth with thanksgiving as we're rooted and grounded in him and telling people about the greatness of the Lord because he has saved us. And as we think about this particular time and this particular Easter Sunday coming up, I want to encourage you, it's a good time, as we've already been exhorted to reflect on Christ, to think about this spiritual lesson, these spiritual words, Christ plus anything equals spiritual loss. Christ plus nothing equals spiritual gain. As I stand before you this morning, your brother in Christ, a member of College Park Church and an elder, I appreciate the wisdom of the church leadership in creating a recognition task force and hiring a search firm to assist us in discovering our next lead pastor. This allows the elders to stay focused on the care of our people and notice the second and guard our doctrine. While candidates are being screened, these elders can focus on those priorities. As I stand here, I sense the heart of our dearly beloved former Pastor Mark, expressed by the Apostle Paul when he addressed the church at Ephesus and his ministry had come to a close there. He said to the elders in Acts 20, verses 27 through 32, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Listen to these next words. "For I know this, that after my departure, salvage wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified." Ephesus was a strong, healthy church. Pastor Mark has left a strong, healthy church, College Park Church. The Apostle Paul expressed concern that as he departed, error would come in. Paul expressed a similar concern to a church he never been to, Colossae. He was warning them to be cautious of deceptive philosophies and human traditions to stray from Christ. He affirmed that in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwells, and believers are complete in him, who is the head over every power and authority. This morning we're going to be talking about being filled with the fullness of Christ. The scripture text has been read to you, but I want to point out a couple things in this text. Colossians 2:8, we're going to look at the first point of this sermon. Faith in anything but Christ is your greatest loss. This is a serious message that you need to listen to. Some people come to church, but they're not saved. Some people read the Bible, but they're not saved. Some people memorize the Bible, but they're not saved. Some people get all kinds of things in their heads as, "I'm spiritual, I don't need Christ, I got something else." They're not saved. And some of us start off with a fervor for our first love, Jesus, the way we're so excited when we got saved and our sins were forgiven, and we start off well, and we drift with error. So it was with the church at Ephesus. Read Revelation 2, they left their first love. In this text in Colossians, he says, "Beware lest anyone," that's anyone from outside or inside, "beware lest anyone cheat you, rob you, deceive you, cheat you out of your reward," so to speak. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." College Park, my brothers and sisters, you and I need to be very alert at this moment that the evil one does not deceive us, that the evil one does not get our eyes off Christ. That is Paul's concern for this particular church here, and it should be our concern as we go through this process of looking for the next lead pastor. One of the first things I want to say under this point, faith in anything but Christ is the greatest loss, I want to talk about the method of attack, the method of deceit. Where does it, how does it work? How does it work? How does it take form? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent has deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." Paul's writing to the church at Corinth and he said, listen, I'm concerned about you. I preached the gospel to you. You were saved and now things are going on. And I'm concerned that as the serpent deceived Eve, so will he deceive you. You say, well, how did he deceive Eve? I'm glad you asked. Genesis 3. The Bible says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and make themselves covering. I want you to know a few things about this, because this is the way deceit works. And ultimately, the devil is the foundation of all deceit, but this method is there. The method, many times, is to come at you and begin to engage you in conversation. One of the things I don't like to do is engage in conversation with the devil. If I know he's talking, I say, shut up, this is a two-way conversation between me and God. But he comes in, he engages her in a conversation. He challenges her about the fruit, the tree. She could eat, they could eat from every tree in the garden but one. And he challenges her, what has God said? She said, well, God said we could eat of every tree except one, and we shall both eat of it or touch it. Don't know where don't touch it come from. The Bible didn't say that, but anyway, she said that. But nevertheless, as he began to get her in that conversation, then he began to appeal to her. Take a look at that tree. It's beautiful. You never really looked at it before, have you? It's desirable. It can make you wise. Oh, yes. And by the way, why would God want you not to eat of that tree? I'll tell you why. Because God knows. He knows the day you eat of that tree, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. In other words, God's trying to keep you down. God's trying to keep you from something that'll make you better. God's trying to stop you from reaching your full posture in life. God, he's deceptive. He's trying to, oh, he's holding back on you, girl. Oh, doesn't that sound like a lot of things we hear today? You're trying to keep me down. You're trying to keep me from becoming all that I can be. The Satan is deceiving her, and she fell for it, and she ate. And by the way, she did have her eyes open, and Adam's eyes were open. Satan didn't totally lie to her. He partially lied. You ate of the fruit. Why not eat of the fruit? Why not? You're going to be like God. Yes, I ate. I'm like God. I know good from evil. However, you didn't tell me the whole world would be crashed into sin. It's the consequences he didn't share with her. And the consequences were what we're living with today. And we're still being deceived today. There's still voices coming to us today. Take a look. It's beautiful. Why shouldn't you have it? Christ, I know you got Christ, but you need something else. Take just a little bit more. That's his method. He is a deceiver. Most of us disobey God because we want to. We think it's better for us because we've been deceived. You and I, when we look at people running around and they have these beliefs contrary to the word of God, when they're not landing on the word of God, we need to keep in our mind that many of them are thoroughly deceived. They believe what they're doing is right. They believe it's the best thing for them. But beloved, don't go down that road and wind up in hell. Hell is the wrong place to find out that you were wrong. I had a young man talk to me shortly after I got saved, and I was witnessing to him. And he said, so what if you die and find out there is no heaven? I said, I'm good. I'm happy in Jesus. But what if you die and find out there is a hell? Those are high stakes. And beyond that, those of us who are saved, we want our lives to count for Jesus. We want our gifts to be used to advance his kingdom. And yet Satan will come in and pull us over with pride and have us hook on to something else. Instead of depending on Jesus, he'll pull us to another thing. His method is to allure us, something you don't have. That's what was happening here in Colossae. There's a higher knowledge. This is a mystery. You can't get it unless you come to our special little group. And we'll look at it and we'll think, oh, I desire that. And it looks so spiritual. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, Paul says this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. That means they got a religious flair. Verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Keep your eyes on Christ. Paul said also in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Beloved, watch your mind. Watch your mind. Don't get pulled aside. Don't let something, when I first got saved, Christ was, it was so wonderful. But I've been saved so long. I mean, Christ was no big, I need something else. Beloved, everything you need is Christ. That method of deceit to pull us aside. I want you to listen to some of the sources of attack. This text says worldly philosophy and traditions of men. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? You and I need to come to grips with that. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, when he confronts Peter. Peter is visiting with the Gentiles, by the way, as we work through the circumcision and the touch not, all those different things of application in this context, we're going to break it down, the Jew and the Gentile. But Gentiles have been saved by the grace of God. Peter's there eating with them. He's actually eating pork with them. And he's having a good time with them until some people come down from the circumcision, that is the Jews. And they come down and they see Peter eating, and something strange goes on where Paul had to confront him. Listen to this, Galatians 2, starting at verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews, also played the hypocrite with him. So that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not standing straight forth on the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in a manner of the Gentiles and not of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. But by works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore the minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For though I through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have
been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. That's the message of Colossians. Beloved, Peter, God got a hold of Peter and sent him to Cornelius. Peter stood before the saints and told them how God had brought the gospel to the Gentiles, and yet they demanded that they be circumcised, and Peter fought that. And in Acts chapter 15, they said, no, don't go, they don't need to be circumcised. Anybody tell you need something outside of Jesus? They're wrong. We don't get saved by the works of the law. And Paul stood Peter to the faith and said, you're a hypocrite, dude. You were over there eating that the pork chops, you know, and you had them barbecue ribs, and you were having a good time with them Gentiles, and then somebody comes in from the circumcised. You don't eat pork. And Peter said, whoa, let me separate. It wasn't the eating. I know some of it, believe me, God forgive me. You say, pork ain't healthy for you. I got it. But this was a religious thing. This was a sign of salvation, circumcision, well, not eating pork. And Paul said, I had to withstand Peter. Listen, false doctrine hurts. You lose something. The Bible says in Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom all the body is nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows into the increase. We're going to get in that scripture a bit more later, but you're picking up the point. This thing called salvation, this thing called Jesus, this thing called bringing my sins to Christ and being forgiven of it, it revolutionizes from the inside out. Works religion try to change you from the outside in. When you get a taste of Jesus, your desires change. When you get a taste of Jesus, he brings power to change you. When you get a taste of Jesus, you are a new human. You don't need anything but Jesus. And when you add something to it, you lose. I want to encourage you. Don't add anything to Christ. Second point, faith in Christ alone is great gain. Faith in Christ alone is great gain. The Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 10, for in him, that's Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. 2 Peter 1, 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. Notice, hath given to us all things, everything we need for life and godliness. Galatians 2:18 says, for if I build again those things which were destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's Christ alone everything you need, beloved. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or and having made peace through the blood of his cross. John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness to him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of the fullness we have received, and grace for grace. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the cross, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Beloved, amen. We got it all in him. In Christ we are complete. Colossians 2:2 says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Philippians 3:11 starts off, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evildoers. Beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. And though I also may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I the more circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Paul had a good resume. But then he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yea, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through Christ, the righteousness which is from God, by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Christ plus nothing. That's what we want. I want you to note that he is the supreme ruler. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:18, the prayer is that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. I want to tell you, as we're going through this Holy Week, and we're thinking about this, Christ plus anything is the greatest loss. Christ plus nothing is the greatest gain. Why would Christ go through what he went through as we think of Holy Week? I want to read this scripture to you, and then we're going to walk through just one application of this sermon. Matthew 26, 50 through 54 says this. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Judas has turned him in, deceived him, they're coming to take Christ. 51, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus, that's Peter, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. 52, but Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled? It must happen this way. I want you to think with me. Behold the Lord your God. Behold the Lamb, he's worthy. Think about him in that final week. There he is being sold out by Judas. He knew Judas had betrayed him, but he continued forward. Listen to the crowd cry, Hosanna, Hosanna, only to turn out to a crowd crying, crucify him, crucify him. He kept going. He could have, but he did not call 12 legions of angels to destroy the whole world, to escape the cross. Think of it. He's been mocked and ridiculed. He's been spit upon. He's been lied about. He's been falsely accused. He could have called 12 legions of angels, had the whole world destroyed and spared himself that agony. Think about it. As he stood there and the people, his own people, the Jewish people, turned him in. He's not our king. Crucify him. He was mocked. They talked about him and jeered about him and humiliated him. He was going through that. But keep this in mind. He could have called 12 legions of angels. He didn't have to go. Think about it. They beat him. He was bruised. They put a crown of thorn on his head. He bled. He was thirsty. He was weak. He could have called 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. Why didn't he? As he hung on the cross, he didn't have to die. He could have called 12 legions of angels to set him free. Why didn't he? Beloved, he didn't because of you and because of me. He did everything we need. When the devil comes at you and tells you, you're so sinful, your sin is horrible, I'm not that bad, you are that bad. But look at Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection is that great. When the devil comes to you and say, you don't have it all, baby, you gotta do this and this and this and this so you can get some more, just look at that cross. He could have, but he didn't, because he saw you and he saw me. When the devil says you don't have what it takes to serve God, your gifts won't be used, you are worthless, you need to just get out of here. Think of it, he could have called 12 legions of angels and been free, but he didn't, but he did there because of you. You are gifted because of him. You're empowered because of him. You are valuable because of him. The gates of hell can't prevail against you because Jesus didn't call 12 legions of angels. He went to the cross with you on his mind. He died for you. He died for me. He rose again. Let's not take our eyes off him. Behold. Behold. Worthy is the Lamb. Keep that on your mind all this week. And when Resurrection Sunday comes, whoa, you have a little zip in your hip. Well, let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the people of God. We thank you for the Son of God in whom we are complete. Lord, deception comes in different ways to take us away from Christ, take us away from the truth, promise us great gain, but really we lose. Keep us focused on Christ, in whom we have great gain. In Christ's name I pray, amen.